Thursday thoughts, folks, that's the wee phrase that's been in my mind today, and well, I want to share some Thursday thoughts with you tonight before we pray. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 10. And verse 25 of Luke chapter 10. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. We'll end there at verse 37. We thank the Lord tonight for his precious word, folks. It's his word that does the work, not the words of any man. But nevertheless, we've got some thoughts for you tonight, Thursday thoughts. We have a very familiar parable here, the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. I've preached on it before, and I've brought in the gospel to it because it's a lovely picture of the gospel and how sinners are like the man who was wounded and half dead, lying helplessly on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And Jericho is the city of the curse, and those who are out of Christ are under a curse. Praise God, tonight we who are saved, we're no longer under the curse, because the blood of Christ has dealt with the curse that was upon us. So in this passage you've got a lovely picture of the gospel. Our wonderful Good Samaritan, who left glory, he stepped off his throne, he came into the world that we might live through him. But folks, let me say this tonight. Here in this passage, I believe we have a picture of the church. The church today. The church in Ulster today. I'm getting close to the bone here. I'm being specific. Look at verse 30. The last 2 words of verse 30. You notice them? Can you see them? Half dead. Half dead. Would you not agree that's a picture, that's an apt description of the church of Jesus Christ in Ulster today? We're half dead. Let me say this, I believe that things have never been worse than they are today. Across the land, as far as the church is concerned, the evangelical separated church, things have never been worse. We are at our lowest ebb today. You've got churches and they're deciding whether to open or close the doors depending on the R rate. The R rate. The infection rate. What about this book? What does it say? A lot of churches today are setting this book aside. In fact, they've set this book aside a long time ago. It's all about the R rate. It's all about science. What do the scientists say? What do the advisors say? Oh, the Holy Spirit must be grieved. How grieved he must be. Is anybody going to consult with him? Listen to him? Remember what you said on Sunday morning? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What does the Spirit have to say? But you see, the church in Ulster tonight is half dead. Like the man on the road to Jericho, half dead. And it's like this man, not much life left in it. And it no longer bothers to consult the scriptures. All about the R rate. All about what the state says. What does the government say? What are the latest guidelines? And then we'll consider maybe possibly opening the church. The latest guidelines, the regulations. I want to tell you folks, we have the Lord's guidelines here. The Lord's guidelines. A church that's half dead. I want you to notice, folks, who comes along here. This wounded man, the life's ebbing out of him. And then there's a few fellows come along. Notice in verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Well, he was a lot of good. A priest. I want to tell you, there's a priest called politics today in Ulster. Politics hasn't done much good for the church. The politicians haven't been able to do much for the country, to help the country. Part of the problem, of course, is that you've got politicians and churches intertwined. And rather than men of God and pulpits deciding and boards and committees deciding the leadership of the church the way it should be, you've got politicians who are really ultimately deciding whether the churches stay open or not. Open or closed. The priest of politics. Politics will never meet the need of the hour. And then there's a Levite comes along here, the next verse. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Well, again, was he much good? I looked at the man, but he didn't lift a finger to help him. Not even his little finger. didn't even bother. He didn't even bother going to this dying man and seeking to do something for him. Useless. That's a very appropriate description for lockdowns, let me say. The Levite of lockdowns. How many lockdowns have we had in our country now? In the United Kingdom, across the world? Like we're on to, what, maybe our third or our fourth lockdown? Have they worked? No. What's the definition of insanity? Here it is. Wait for it. Trying the same thing over and over again, even though it doesn't work. There's your definition of insanity. When you try the same thing over and over again and it doesn't work. And you've got churches who are locking their doors, they're closing the house of God, and it doesn't work. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, folks. Churches are not spreading this virus. But there's the Levite of lockdowns and the priest of politics. Can do nothing for us. And the poor, half-dead man continues to lie on the roadside, dying, bleeding. Half-dead. Just like the church today. But here's the good news. There was a third man who came along. The Good Samaritan, we call him. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Let me stop there. So you've got the church, half dead, in need of revival. And the one who can revive it comes along. God comes. The Lord comes. See, the Good Samaritan is a picture of the Lord here, coming to his church. Isn't that what we need today in Ulster? The Lord to come. We need the Lord to visit his church. Everything else has failed. Oh, that the Lord would descend. Oh, that he would come and revive his half-dead church. And he can do it. I want to say he's more than willing to do it, folks. You know why? Look at the end of verse 33. I read it there. He had compassion on him. And just as the Good Samaritan had compassion on the dying man, so the Lord has compassion for his church tonight. He knows it's pathetic. He knows it's shameful. He knows it's wounded. He knows that the thieves have attacked it and stripped it. Stripped it of its glorious garments that it used to have and used to wear. The thieves have departed and the church is tonight half dead. The thieves have left it half dead. I tell you, thieves have attacked the church in Ulster in recent times. It's been ongoing now for some time. But I tell you, The Lord Jehovah, the great I Am, has compassion on his church, on all the churches, the ones that are open and the ones that are closed. See, on Sunday mornings, we're studying the seven churches. And remember that Christ is in the midst of the seven churches. He's an equal distance from all seven. Now, they were all different. Some of them were on fire and were standing for the Lord. Others were lukewarm and they made the Lord sick. Or as one preacher said, made the Lord book. Oh, we don't want to be a church that makes the Lord sick, do we? Lukewarm. But even in spite of this, whatever kind of church it was, the Lord loved each one of them and he had compassion in each one of them. And he wanted to revive them. And he wants to revive his church in Ulster tonight. Now let me finish. In verse 34, it says that this gentleman, he pours in oil and wine. When the Lord comes to his church, I tell you, he'll pour in the oil. Or should I say, he'll pour out the oil. Those of you who study your Bibles, and I know you all do, folks, you will know that oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The oil of the Spirit, it's essential. If we're going to be revived, we need the oil. It's as simple as that. And the Lord desires and longs to pour in the oil into his church, into his half-dead church. May he do it. May he pour in the oil into this meeting tonight. May he pour in the oil on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. It'll make all the difference. Oh, for the oil of the Spirit. But then you notice that the wine's there too. The wine, of course, is always a symbol of the blood. The blood of Christ. In a few weeks, we'll be receiving the wine. The emblem of the Saviour's blood. See, where you have a church that's half dead. You need the oil. You need the Holy Spirit. But you need the blood as well. You need believers who are pleading the blood. Fighting the enemy with the blood. Now we're here to fight him tonight. Because he's never been busier. But don't forget your weapon tonight as you go to war with him. The blood. I tell you, the demons are busy today. The evil spirits. I believe that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That's why they're busy. You see, at the first coming of Christ, demons were working overtime. You read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. You find that it seemed to be that hell was just unleashed against Christ. The first time he came to save us, to shed his blood, to rise again. An upsurge in demonic activity. See, when the Saviour is about to come again, second time, and raptures people, and the trumpet's about to sound, it's going to the same thing, I believe, it's going to happen. I believe the same thing is happening. All hell has been let loose. And guess who's in the crosshairs? The church. I reckon we need
the wine, the blood, to fight the enemy.